So we're going to get into some more things to observe, and so that we can get some more information about how people are processing information. And there's a mirroring and matching, pacing and leading aspect to this, but we're starting also to get into language and how people express how they're thinking through the kinds of words they use. So one of the is it one of the ones we have posted up here? Communication is redundant. Doesn't look like it. So yeah, the idea with one of the assumptions of NLP is that communication is redundant. We're always communicating in all of the channels as to how we are representing things to ourselves. So it's going to show up in your tone, tempo, and volume of voice. It's going to show up in your breathing. It's going to show up in your physiology. It's going to show up in your language. It's going to show up in the way that you move your eyes. There's all kinds of ways that we communicate how we're processing, how we're representing information. And so we want to, as NLP practitioners, get exquisitely observant of these different aspects. And oftentimes, for example, one indicator might give you some information, but may not be enough information to know how a person is processing inside their head. So what you want to look for are patterns and correspondences between these different aspects of what you're observing. So when you start to note, you can pick up on a pattern, then you can be more confident in your assessment that maybe this person's processing visually right now, or this person's processing auditorily or kinesthetically. And so we want to get good at all these different distinctions, but I wouldn't rely on any one of them as being enough information to know what's going on. Now, I will make an exception to that statement in that once you get down the road, you start to be able to make those assessments with less and less information. So you can get with a little teeny bit of information, you can make a lot of assessment as to what's going on with the person. So let's start with kinesthetic, what we call predicates. So predicates in language. So when people are speaking, oftentimes they will use certain words in their language that will give you a clue as to whether or not they're making pictures in their head, or they're talking to themselves, or they're hearing something, or whether they're more paying more attention to their feelings. And I believe on page, 22-ish, let me look. 27, perfect. So you can look at these lists. And when people are speaking, so if you hear people say things like, oh, I see what you mean, let's take a look at this. Can we just focus in a little bit here so that I can get a better perspective on what we're talking about? So do you hear the visual words in the language? Huh?
Know what I'm saying? I hear you.
You hear? So these things, I mean, they're sprinkled throughout our normal everyday conversation. It's fascinating. When I was teaching this same material to youth corrections counselors, these were all treatment managers, and I was teaching them about this, and one of the treatment managers says, you know what, Larry, I don't believe this stuff at all. I don't believe in any of this. He says, when I look at these kids, and I look around, and I see them talking to each other, I don't see them doing any of this. And I says, you don't see any of that? You really don't? He says, no, I don't see it at all. It's like, oh, okay. Just want to understand your perspective on it. So this is something that we're most people aren't conscious of, listening for these kinds of language. So as you can kind of read down just a few parts of these. So the visual words appear, clear, cockeyed, colors, conspicuous, as distinct from audible, babble, boisterous, buzz, discord, dissonance, as being qualities of sound versus quality of picture. Does that make sense? And then the kinesthetic, remember, kinesthetic is either feeling words or action words. So they might indicate some kind of feeling or some kind of action or behavior. So bounce, caress, catch, clutch, cold, feel, firm. So when you hear those kinds of words, they may indicate that the person is processing more kinesthetically, especially if you notice a pattern of that kind of language. Let's go to page 26. So here's a list of phrases. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read these, and we're going to decide if it indicates visual, auditory, or kinesthetic processing. There's also a few sprinkled in there that you may not be sure. Might not be enough information there to tell. And so you can write down, if you'd like, V, A, or K, or a question if you're not sure. So look at this. Visual. Pulling together. Kinesthetic. Take a look. Rings a bell. See the light. I thought so. Classic response. So for some of you, that seemed more visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Thinking could happen in any one of those three, right? I thought. So that one would be neutral. Okay? We don't really know for sure whether thought indicates visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. What about squeeze it in? Speak up. I can't believe it. Oh, I did? Tune in. Auditory. I can't believe it. Okay. Yeah. Not sure. That's a neutral one, right? See here? How do you view this? Lend me near. What did Jeffrey Dahmer ask Hannibal Lecter? Oh my God, tough crowd. This one feels right? Get in touch soon. Music to my ears. Scan. Now this one, some of these words could be visual or could be auditory depending on the context, right? So you could scan auditorily, right? Or you could scan visually. It might even be scanning somebody like energetically, and that could be more of a kinesthetic. Answer me. This is heavy. Cool it. Give me elbow room. It's clear to me now. Now, this is another one that could potentially be auditory, right? Because clarity is a quality of audio as well as visual. I'm sorry? Yeah, I would say it could be either. Give me elbow. Draw me a picture, thank you. Visual. Now, here's another one. You could make the argument that that could be kinesthetic if you're thinking about the action of drawing. Okay. Say it again. Seeing red. Nice tone to it. And now, are there color tones? Okay. So again, that one could be visual, auditory. He's a colorful guy. I don't know what. Okay. I don't know what. Probably not enough information there, right? Neutral. So could it be
audible?
Auditory?
Because they're just so quirky and different, and it's just like a colorful personality. Mm-hmm. So I guess you're thinking of the person, though, visually.
Right. So this is, it could be metaphorical, right?
Well, he could be using colorful language.
Colorful language, right. He's creepy.
Visually creepy?
Okay. Yeah, this one could be several, right? Don't jump on me about it. She's a bright person. Sitting on your hands. Get your ducks in a row. Could be visual. Could be you're actually putting the ducks in the row. So does this give you a better sense of the language, what to listen for in other people's language that might indicate how they're processing information?